Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Growing number of Americans.
The Dow opens at 12,006.
Make it so, number one.
He's always in the numbers.
It's the magic number.
Well, it's time to welcome back Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. He brings us a big number that he's watching and also deals with the Olympics. Charlie, what's your big number?
$13 billion.
That's a big number. Why is that?
$13 billion is now the estimated cost of the London Olympics, which start next week.
Wait, $13 billion. I had read that the
it started off a lot lower.
It was $6.5 billion, so they're 200% 100% over budget.
100% over budget, and you know the thing about it is it's really hard to get an exact cost of how much the games will cost, because what you're seeing here is that sometimes there's not a full accounting. There's not like one bucket where everything goes into, because there can be a lot of things like overtime for the tube operators. There could be the infrastructure costs. There's kind of a politically acceptable number, and this one, this $13 billion. Unbelievably, it's actually it's in line. It's actually doing better than what we've seen in other Olympics. There was a study by the University of Oxford that just came out that found in the last 50 years, usually the Olympics go about 179% over budget. So you could say that even though this has been a doubling for this cost, they're actually doing better.
Now, this is just on the run-up to the games. I assume we have to wait for receipts, the other side of the ledger, not only ticket sales, food sales, beer and Coca-Cola, but also hotels and restaurants and flights and all of the other sort of inclusive costs that come with hosting the games.
You know, the way to look at the games is sort of there's a short-term cost or a short-term benefit and a long-term benefit. You know, on the short-term, we'll probably see an increase in the United Kingdom's GDP, because there'll be all this spending that's going on. And considering, you know, the state of Europe right now, that's actually probably a good thing. You'll see things like temporary employment, staff and security, salaries, hotels getting paid, and restaurants and retail. But at the same time, you also have the other side of it. You know, in Barcelona, for example, when they had the Olympics, studies found that about a sixth of the residents left town or planned to leave town during the Olympics. So there was lost cost there. So in the short term, it's a little bit of a weighing of the scales, a little bit more, but might be a little bit less. You may have a lot of tourists that decide, I'm not going to London because it's just going to be a mess.
Right.
So you get some reduction there.
So what's going city by city? I mean, you can take, I name them off the top of my head, you know, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Sarajevo, Athens, Vancouver. All these cities have hosted the Olympics over the years. What's the takeaway for a city? Good idea or bad idea for the bottom line to host the Olympics?
Mixed bag. If you look at like Los Angeles and Barcelona, they pretty much broke even, but there was a fair amount of public debt in Barcelona. Sydney broke even, but a later audit has found that the Colosseum, the stadium that they built, that's had huge costs going on to maintain it and operate it years ahead. Then there are the Olympics that did really poorly. For example, in Montreal, it ended up about $3 billion in debt, 2.7 to be exact, and it only paid it off in 2005. So, you know, that Olympic happened in 1976. It took them a long time to get that resolved. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, the long-term hope is that by making these stadiums, by building all these residential complexes, that there will be some extra use for them later. And if you look at someplace like Atlanta, they point out that they got federal funds to improve their transportation system. That's been good for the city. The arenas are being used by the Falcons and the Braves. The Olympic Village that was created is now a dormitory for Georgia Tech, so that there was multi-use. And that's what London is saying. They really want this facility to be turned into homes, schools, a place for high-tech innovation and work to happen. But it's, you know, whether or not that happens, that's, you kind of have to wait and see. And it's hard to like measure the cost. There's no one like bucket that all the costs go into.
I used to live in Montreal, where the Olympic Village was turned into low-income housing on Île Saint-Hélène near the old Olympic Village. But you left out one city. Everybody wants to hear about Salt Lake City and the Olympics there, because that was run by Mitt Romney. So
the man who saved the Olympics. You know,
did it make money?
It did make some money. According to some studies, it made about $100 million surplus. And when Romney came in, it was about $400 million in the red. So, you know, he did turn things around, at least as the person who was running it. But, you know, one of the things to keep in mind is that there are a lot of costs that happen that are outside of the Olympic budget again. You know, there's the infrastructure. Years ago, I worked on a story about a road that was being built to the downhill skiing resort that was being paid for largely by federal dollars. Does that get included in there, or is that just considered a taxpayer cost? So it just depends.
So that's the money. Charlie Herman, any ancillary benefits to hosting the Olympics? There's the bottom line, but countries, any other reason why they might want to host?
Well, you know, what studies have found, Goldman Sachs did a big report on this about the Olympics and economics, and found that host nations, in general, have a 54% increase in the number of medals they win. So if you host the Olympics, you will actually win more medals. And what more reason than that?
So what you don't make in cash, you might make up in gold,
glory.
Right?
In glory.
Invest in gold and glory.
That's gold, bronze, and silver.
That's Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for WNYC and for Here at the Takeaway. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.